¿Qué pasa, Calexico? Welcome back to the podcast. Like always, before we begin, I want to thank a couple of people. I want to thank my sponsors, my anchor sponsors. I want to thank Camilo, Sergio, Jake. Thank you guys for sponsoring the podcast. I also want to thank my friends at Dents on Border. If you have any small dents, make sure you contact Dents on Border. I'll leave a link to their Facebook page on the description of the show. I also want to thank Sergio's Tacos and Hot Dogs with over 8 years of experience serving Imperial, San Diego, and Yuma counties with Mexicali-style hot dogs and taquizas. Their number is 760-562-0057, and you can find them on Facebook under Sergio's Tacos and Hot Dogs. I also want to thank Dylan Castillo from Castillo Bookkeeping Services. If you're in need of bookkeeping services, make sure you contact them at 760-960-7601 or through email at acas1025@yahoo.com. Also want to thank David Gastelum. If you're thinking of buying or selling a home in the Imperial or San Diego counties, make sure you contact David. His number is 760-235-9576. He's not only a realtor, but an investor with over 20 years of experience, and he'll teach you along the way one of the most important investments of your life. Today we have a couple of people. These two people are, I really wanted to get them on the podcast because they're doing something really, really cool for the community, especially our community in need. My guests today are Vanessa Kilps and Yomar Aguilar, and they are part of, and I quote, this is, I'm getting this from their Instagram page, a youth-driven organization that strives to provide essential items to those in need among our community. Thank you guys for being here. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having us, Jose.
Thank you.
Before we begin, get into what Familia del Valle is all about, can you tell us a little bit about yourselves? Start with Vanessa.
Yeah, so hi, my name is Vanessa Kilps. I graduated from Calexico High School last year in 2020, and I'm currently attending UC Berkeley as a freshman, and I'm a global studies major, and I wanted to join Familia del Valle because I thought it was really important, especially right now during the pandemic, to have a positive impact on our community and to help those in need.
Yeah, so good afternoon. My name is Yomar Aguilar. I'm actually from Southwest High School, class of 2020, so I just graduated this year as well. But due to the pandemic, I'm staying here at IVC. It seems like I'll be majoring in political science. That's still to be determined. But yeah, I'm excited to be here. So actually, I had the idea for Familia del Valle, but I mean, it's a collaborative effort that a whole range of people have come together to help, and I'm ever so grateful.
Yeah, you know, I found you guys on Instagram, and these last couple of days, you guys have been, you know, putting out little informational stuff about, you know, who you guys are, you know, and what each member is doing. And I think it's something really cool that you as young people are kind of like you're super organized in the sense of, you know, you start this group and then you have all these people and you assign them a task and everybody has, you know, a part of, you know, this organization you guys are doing. How do you guys decide, or how does this happen? Like, for me, being somebody, you know, that's a little bit older, I'm almost in my 40s, and I've, you know, I guess worked with grown-ups that aren't as effective or as organized as you guys. How do you guys, you know, what are you guys eating that is making you guys organized?
Yeah, so I could take that question. My part in Familia del Valle is I'm the social media team leader. And so I think that social media is definitely the biggest part or like aspect of our group and how we organize and communicate. Because, you know, you can't get together right now during a pandemic, only like small groups of people. And we're a pretty big group, so we definitely have to use what we have. And so we have like group chats, and that's how we like get all our information out and we assign our roles. So, and then I think also the fact that we're like, we grew up around social media and all this technology. So it's like natural instinct to us. You know, we really know how to use social media to our advantage.
Is there anything you want to add, Yaman, in terms of your guys' organizational skills and stuff like that?
Yeah, so basically, I think that it's important to, like, so we all grew up together in the Valley. We're all basically the same age range and all that. So we all know each other pretty well, even though we were acquaintances or we knew each other from Twitter and stuff like that. So it really just grew together to be a group, a familia that got together to help the Valley out. So I think what was most important was understanding, like, everyone's strong aspects. So every single person has a talent in a single area, and assigning that person a specific role in that area where they are comfortable in, I think, is what really drives this organization forward. Because everyone has a unique set of skills. Social media has their skills. They know how to make the posters. We have a research team who's currently right now researching effects, causes of the unhoused community and how we can help fix that. And so it's just coming together and putting all our assets so that this ball can really start moving, which is what drives us really effective. And I think that what is really even motivating us even more is the end goal. So no matter what, our end goal is to help the unhoused community. And that is our only mindset. That is what we're looking and what we're striving for. So if we keep that in check and if we see that vision, we can put our minds into anything and we can really achieve it.
So you guys are focused mainly on, you know, the homeless community in the Imperial Valley, right?
Yeah, correct. So, so part of that is that we've been trying to switch terms and, like, bring the advocacy into, like, the unhoused community. So it's interesting because there was an article released that was saying homeless community actually has, like, a negative stigma or negative connotation to it. So part of our mission is to, like, bring awareness to the whole problem. And so switching from vocabulary from homeless to unhoused has really been, like, a big aspect in this organization. So, I mean, the community needs to know this stuff so we can actually achieve a change.
Yeah, and that was one of my questions that I wanted to ask you guys, because I know I've worked with other organizations in the Valley that, you know, feed the homeless. And sometimes a lot of people in our community kind of aren't too fond of people feeding or helping the homeless community because they feel that, you know, they might get too comfortable or, you know, it'll attract more homeless people to our community. You know, what are your thoughts on you know, that kind of, like, feeling of some of the community members?
Yeah, so part of our mission is not only to help the homeless, but also to kind of break that stigma that some people have against them. So, like, some people don't want to help them because they may be abusing drugs or they think they're, like, a danger to others, when in reality, they're just people who need help. They're probably people who were comfortable in our situations a few years ago and something happened in their lives that caused them to get to where they are now. And so, yeah, I really think that we have to break that stigma against the unhoused and get them the help they need instead.
Yeah.
And I do like to further echo, like, Vanessa on that, like, this whole conservative ideology, like, giving handouts, like, perpetuates the problem. I think we need to come from a different aspect. It really dehumanizes them if we really have this sense of thinking that, oh, if we help them somehow, this is going to make them comfortable. No, I think that what we're trying to do on the long run is actually save taxpayer money by trying to eliminate and eradicate the problem as a whole. And so really approaching from a moral aspect as well, that these people, you really don't know what they've gone through in their lives. Everyone has obstacles that they've gone through. They've lost jobs, especially right now during COVID. They've been hit hard financially. So I think that what we have to do is that we have to help them on our level, which is a community level, that we donate the products, and on a legislative level too, because if you think about it, the problem is just going to go on and on in a cycle if there's no real legislative change.
Yeah, for sure. How does, because I know you worked with Valle Bota, is there like a relationship between Valle Bota and Familia del Valle? Like, is there a lot of the members from Valle Bota are now members of Familia del Valle?
Yeah, so it kind of integrated into both. So a lot of the members from Valle Bota hopped on to Familia del Valle. I think it's mainly the community service aspect that really attracted them. But there's also a lot of new members for Familia del Valle, a lot of new people that really, they maybe weren't that interested in the political aspect of Valle Bota, about the whole voting thing, but what they were really passionate about is helping those in need in our community. So I think that Valle Bota and Familia del Valle is intertwined in the fact that we both have a goal to better our community, but it is a little separate on what we do.
Do you feel that due to the pandemic, you know, a lot of you guys stayed home or came back home? Do you feel that also had an impact on you guys starting this organization? You know, the fact that a lot of you are down here kind of made you guys kind of do something instead of just being home and, you know, I don't know, like just sitting there, like do something and help out the community. Did the pandemic, you know, have an impact on this?
Yeah, so I think with the pandemic and all college students and high school students staying home, it kind of brought us back together. Like, there's so many, like, my friends who, we all go to different schools, but we're all still here. And so that really helps us focus on our community. And also, like, what you said about having, like, more time here to do other things. I can relate to that because, like, I found myself having so much time. Like, I still have my classes to do, but I picked up, like, a lot of different jobs and, like this organization. I don't think that's something I wouldn't have been able to do if I was living on campus right now. And so I think, yeah, that the pandemic definitely did bring us together and really helped us focus more on our community instead.
I know that there's some of you that are, you know, have already graduated, but I think I saw some of the kids that are in your organization that are still in high school, right?
Yeah, there's a lot that are still in high school. I mean, I don't know, around 20% of us already graduated. But the majority is still in high school. And I think that's so fascinating that they're still in high school and they still have like this motivation to help the community. Because it is their home. They do have to see it every day when they drive by to go to the store, to go to the library, to go wherever they need to go. And so it's a problem that they do realize is very evident in whether it be Calexico or whether it be Calipat. And so I think that they do have this personal attachment to the community to try to help it. And I think that's great.
Yeah. Have you guys been in contact with any local organizations that kind of already do the same? That I know here in Calexico we have Brown Bag Coalition. And I know there's, you know, there's across the valley. Have you guys been in contact or have they reached out to kind of like join forces and you know, be a better help to the cause?
Yeah, I think it's really important to kind of collaborate and work with the other organizations we have here because they're already trying to make their own change. And I think if we all work together, it would really come out to something great. And so, yeah, one organization that we are working with is Calexico Needs Change. And I know they're organizing a food drive this weekend. So we're definitely going to be helping on that, whether it be providing donations or volunteers. And I think, Yomar, weren't we working with...
Brown Bag Coalition too. Like, we have a contact for Brown Bag Coalition. And we're also working with a few city council members from Calexico and El Centro, and maybe even some panel of judges that are trying to see if there could be some like activism by their part to play a role.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I feel that sometimes I think, I don't know, what was your experience with Valle Bota, like meeting the community? Because sometimes I feel that, you know, we always say, especially me, I'm in education. I work in education. So we always say, like, you know, the kids are the future, or, you know, we need to support the children because they're our future. And you guys are not kids anymore. You're young adults. But at the same time, you know, you were those group of kids that we would say, like, oh, you know, these kids are the future. We need to support them. Have you guys received any backlash or anything? Because I feel like I've kind of seen it where, you know, people criticize young people trying to, you know, advocate change or get involved. Sometimes they get criticized because, like, oh, what do you guys know? You guys are too young. Have you guys received any of that, you know, backlash from the community, or not only from this, but from, like, Vallebota, you know, as you were part of it, Yomar?
Yeah, so there's certainly, like, the stereotype that there's, like, that adults kind of undermine our thinking and our yearning for movement. There have been a few instances where either in Vallebota we do face some condescending, like, questions, or like, oh, you don't really know what you're talking about, or certain stuff of that aspect. But other than that, I feel that the community has been overwhelmingly supportive of both Vallebota and Familia del Valle. We have gotten the doors open by various organizations and various candidates or current sitting council members and stuff like that, that really do want to align and team up with us to really help change the community. And I think that really speaks volume, because it does show that we have the same goal in mind, and that is to help out our home, because this is our home.
Yeah, for sure. So how do you guys come up with the name Familia del Valle?
Well, I remember when we first started the group, we didn't really have a name. We had come up with, like, this silly name called, like, Operation Blankets, because that was our focus, to collect blankets for the winter, because it was going to get cold. But then we realized that we should probably come up with a better name. And by that time, we had a lot more members, and they were able to contribute too. And we came up with Familia del Valle because, well, I think familia is a big aspect of it, because we want to think of it as, like, a close-knitted group. And also, when, like, your family, you want to help each other out no matter what. Basically, no person left behind. And then we also, I thought it was a really great idea to make it in Spanish, because we are a very big Spanish speaking community. And so I think that would help reach out to even more people if it was in Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really cool name. I when I saw it popped out, and I was like, and like I said, you guys are, you know, fairly new, and when you guys popped out on my Instagram feed, I was like, who are these guys? And I started seeing, like, familiar faces and names, because I had spoken to who did I speak from Vallebota?
Henry.
Yeah, Henry Lera. Yeah. And then I went through, because I would follow Vallebota, and I would see, like, these names and faces, and I remember seeing Yomar, and I was like, oh, it's probably, you know, the same group of young kids that are doing this. I hope you don't mind me calling you kids, but to me, you guys are kids, because, like I said, I'm almost 40. So what are some of the things that you guys are, you know, asking for help with from the community?
So mainly we're asking donations, whether it be blankets, sweaters, socks. PPEs are really essential. If you think about it, the unhoused community, they either want to go inside a store, a gas station, they need to buy a water or something, and they're kicked out because they don't have adequate face covering to go inside. So I think that there is something both from a health aspect, because statistically speaking, it is said that 2 out of every 5 homeless person in the valley has been affected by COVID. We do want to push that health aspect, and also so they have the freedom to go wherever they deem they need to go. So PPEs are really essential, and monetary donations are also welcome, because what we're trying to do is also, instead of just doing materials, we're also trying to buy food, water. We're planning to do an event next month where we do hot chocolate and conchas And so we go and distribute that. So they have something to eat too. So mainly anything that the community can give is more than appreciated. We've gotten heels, we've gotten shoes, we've gotten a little bit of everything. And even though that stuff is a little bit more tedious to actually give out, we actually have been donating to shelters as well. So whether it be the Salvation Army or Our Lady of Guadalupe shelter, the Women's Haven, we have these shelters in mind as well so that we can collaborate and help them out too.
How are you guys going about distributing this, you know, especially now with COVID? You know, what precautions are you taking to be safe and at the same time reach out these communities?
We actually recently had a distribution event this past Monday in Calexico, and it was our first event, and so it was kind of like a trial run, but we definitely were prepared. Every single volunteer had to wear a mask. We had to keep a safe distance. We kept hand sanitizer in our cars, and we went around Calexico looking for people in need, and we simply distributed the items. And I think it was we were able to donate over 500 items. So everything we received, we gave out. There was nothing left, thankfully. So it was really nice to be able to give them, like, especially really warm blankets and jackets and socks to stay warm, because it does get cold at night and they're out there all night long.
Yeah, for sure. What are your like family members and your parents think about, you know, you guys doing this kind of stuff?
They've been really supportive throughout the whole process. I think those are the people that first started to donate. Our idea was like, okay, let's ask, when it was a small scale thing, it was like, oh, let's ask our family members and friends. That was our first idea. And so when we saw that there was a little bit of traction and they were actually willing to give out some pretty big donations, that's when we were like, okay, we need to widen the scope a little bit. And we started doing this whole social media campaign. And so I think it was actually, we couldn't have done it without their support, because we do keep a lot of these items in our houses. And so and they do lend us their cars, their pickup trucks. They do take us, for people who can't drive, they do take them to the locations and stuff like that. So I think they do recognize that this is something that we think is really important for us to help people out, and in turn, they help us do that.
Yeah, because I was thinking, you know, when people donate stuff, you know, a lot of people bring like bags or whatever of clothes. But I was thinking, like, where are you guys keeping all these stuff, or are you guys washing it, or... You know, I bet like some of you are using, you know, your own houses to store and clean and stuff like that.
Yeah, so for each city in the valley, well, most of the cities in the valley, we have like one or two appointed people that keep these donations in their houses. So they were nice enough to provide somewhere to keep them. And so, yeah, they take the donations and they keep them in their houses. And then I think something that we really thought was important was to have somewhere to donate in almost every single city in the valley, because we want this to be across the entire valley and not just focused on like one big city. So we have designated numbers that people can call if they want to donate, and we would go pick the donations up at their door. So hopefully it'll make it easier and quicker. And yeah, we're just really thankful that people are stepping up and offering their houses or any kind of storage.
Yeah, I was looking at your social media and I see that, you know, almost every city has a number where you can call and donate. Like if you're in, you know, Central, you can call a number and they'll pick it up and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, and it helps with the driving and whatnot. Is there anything else that you guys would like to add that I didn't really touch upon? Like, any closing thoughts?
Well, just the fact that if the community like wishes to help or donate, feel free to go into our social media. We have on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search up Familia El Valle and you'll find us. And then you can either reach us through there or call the designated number, because there is a few flyers. And we'll be more than happy to schedule to either go to the house, or if they're even willing, drop off the donations, because it really does make the day of these people. You'll be really surprised. On Monday when we went to distribute, there was a so we were distributing the blankets and the sweaters, and there was this unhoused person that actually I gave them socks, I gave them sweaters, I gave them everything, and he's like, "Do you have a shirt by any chance?" And so I was like, "You know what? I don't right now, but the other, because we separate in groups when we distribute, but the other group does have one. Wait for me here, and I'll be back in an hour." And so I went and I came back in the hour. And when I came back, he didn't have any of the donated items. I didn't see anything. So I asked him what happened. And he was like, "Oh, it's because I gave it to my friend who's also unhoused. I gave him all the items." And so to see how selfless these people are, how generous they are, and they're the people that have less to give, but they give the most. I think it really did make their day that they were able to share with each other. And we were able to share with them what we had. And so it does make a positive impact on the community. And it, when you see it for yourself, it is an eye opener and you get an epiphany. And I think that it's great. And because of these people who are actually willing to donate, people are sleeping a little bit warmer, because it is cold and it's not comfortable sleeping on the floor and when it's freezing. So I think that, it's really important that people actually go out and donate.
Yeah, yeah. And I think something that because, like I said, I've worked with a couple of other, you know, organizations here in the Valley that, you know, do kind of the similar thing. And something that is often brought up is that the fact that, and I think one of you brought it up, is that most of these people were maybe comfortably living in a house, but something happened in their lives that, you know, they ended up homeless. And in reality, it could, especially in these times, you know, with the pandemic, the way the economy is and all these things, that it can pretty much happen to any one of us. So I feel like it's important that we see it that way. Like whenever we're helping somebody or we're helping organizations by donating or volunteering, is that a lot of these people were like us, you know, living in a house and a family, and something happened in their lives that they ended up homeless. And it's really inspiring that, you know, during this time, during COVID, I've seen with Valle Bota and now with you guys, Familia El Valle, that, you know, somebody so young is willing to take that time, because it's really time consuming, you know, doing these flyers on Instagram or just spreading the word, or just taking the time to go out and deliver all these things, or pick them up, organize. You know, it's really encouraging to see you guys, you know, do all these things. And I'm really thankful that you guys are, you know, taking the lead. And like I said, like some of you are in college, but some of you are still in high school. And it's like I said, it's inspiring to see young people doing these things, and I thank you guys for doing what you're doing.
No, I really appreciate you inviting us on.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And yeah, like I said, if you guys need any help from me, I'm more than willing. You know, like I said, I try to share most of your things on my Instagram. I know social media is the word of mouth is really important, and like I said, I know organizations, and hopefully I can link you guys up to them and you collaborate, and because just like social media, collaboration is really key and you know, making something small bigger. And I know you guys are really well, you guys know the social media aspect, and I know a lot of the organizations from the Valley are not as savvy and when it comes to social media, so maybe you guys can help them in that way, and they can help you, and then, you know, reaching out to the people that they already know that need the help. So, you know, it's really key to work together. And I know that you guys are more than willing to work with a lot of the people here in the Valley that are established and that already know, you know, where to find these people and how to help them. So yeah, I'm going to do my best to help you guys in anything I can, whether it's with money or time and connections. So just know that.
Thank you, Jose.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for spending this time. I know, you know, I was talking to Yomar before we started recording, and I know he has two jobs. He goes to school and he's doing this side thing with his friends. And I want to give you a little time to chill and relax. And Vanessa, thank you for taking the time as well. And I want to thank everybody else from Familia del Valle. Thank you guys for doing what you're doing. And everybody listening or watching, if you want to help donate or just reach out for volunteer or whatever, find them on Instagram, Familia del Valle, or Facebook or Twitter. I'll leave all those links in the description of this episode. And I want to thank everybody for listening and watching. I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Please be safe. If you guys don't need to get together, please don't do it. It's just one Thanksgiving. Imagine the many more you're going to have if you guys don't, you know, get together this one Thanksgiving. I know it's hard. I'm not going to see my parents, so, you know, it's hard for me. I know it's hard for a lot of people, but it's the right thing to do, especially at these times with the numbers going up. But yeah, please stay safe, wear your face mask, social distance, wash your hands, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.